Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you're a virtual member of Beth Emmanuel, consider praying about upgrading by coming home to Hudson, where we are building intentional Messianic Jewish community. The only thing missing is you.
Shana Tova from Beth Emmanuel in beautiful, historic Hudson, Wisconsin. May you be inscribed in the Book of Life for a sweet new year. Now, concerning the times and seasons, brothers, we have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 5. Our master and teacher, the holy rabbi of Nazareth, the Son, the one who came from the Father and returned unto him, and now is seated at the right hand of majesty, is known by many names and many titles and spoken of in the language of poetry and metaphor. He is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd of souls. He is the Lamb of God. He is the prophet like Moses. He is our high priest. He is the branch. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of David. He is the light that was from the beginning. He is the firstborn over creation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and so on and so on and so forth. But perhaps no title is more unexpected than this one, one that he himself coins, that is, the thief. He said to his disciples, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We understand him as the shepherd, like Moses, like David, who cared for the flock. And we understand him as the lamb who went without opening his mouth like a lamb to the slaughter. But in what sense do we know him as thief? He himself speaks of the forces of darkness as a thief. He says in John 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And yet, also, in another place, he speaks of himself as the thief. And at no other time of the year than Rosh Hashanah are we better prepared to understand what this means than on the day of concealment, at the time of the new moon, when the night is dark and only a small crescent lights the sky. In what way does he come like a thief? Is he like a thief? He's like a thief in that he comes at an hour when you do not expect. The thief comes by night, unexpectedly. He does not send you a note in advance saying, "My friend, be prepared, for I will be dropping by to rob your house at 2:30 a.m. on Friday, September 30th. Instead, unawares is a theme of the Master's teaching about the Second Coming, and unawares is also a theme of Rosh Hashanah, which is why we celebrate Rosh Hashanah for 2 days instead of one, by the way. Though the Bible itself speaks of only one day of Rosh Hashanah, that is the first day of the seventh month, the new moon. But it's the case with the new moon that its appearance is concealed, and as the calendar was determined by observation in those days, no one knows the day and hour of the new month, whether it will occur on this day or on the following day, and hence a new moon festival, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, could not be fixed before its occurrence with certainty, so that's why it spans 2 days. So too, we cannot know the day and hour of our Master's coming. He teaches that no one knows the day and hour of his coming, not even the Son himself knows. Only the Father knows the time that he has appointed. And this is like what it says in the Midrash. It says in the Midrash Rabbah, "If anyone ever tells you when the end of the redemption will come, tell him the time of redemption is concealed, as it says in Isaiah 63, verse 4, the day of vengeance was concealed in my heart." And if we step back from the discussion of Rosh Hashanah, or eschatology, or the second coming. This turns out to be true on an everyday basis. It's true of life itself and death, and actually everything that befalls us, that the future is unknown. It's unpredictable, and fate falls upon us suddenly and without warning. For example, in the United States of America, on average, 115 people die every day in traffic accidents. Approximately 1,220 people die of heart attack every day without warning. Their heart, it simply stops beating. The Talmud says three things come unexpectedly: the Messiah, a lost item, and a scorpion. The fourth thing that comes unexpectedly, of course, is the day of death. Not always, but frequently enough that it's fair to say that every day might be one's last day, and one should never take even a single breath for granted. So Moses says, "Lord, teach us to number our days." And this is a problem. How can a man number his days if he doesn't know how many days he has, how many days have been allotted to him? But the answer is that he should realize that every single day is a gift. For this thief, the thief that snuffs out a life, can come at any hour, in any place, and without any reason, without any warning. The high holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are rehearsals for the inevitable. Imagine you had an upcoming performance of some sort. For example, suppose you had a role in a theatrical production. What would you do? Well, you would rehearse your lines, you would learn your part, you would prepare for that day when you must take the stage without a script in your hand and know your part by heart. Our future is uncertain, but there is one thing about it that is certainly certain, and that is that each one of us will one day be visited by that unexpected visitor, whether it be the angel of death or the unexpected coming of the thief in the night. Neither one does the courtesy of an advance notice. We all have a part to play on the stage of death. Do you know your lines? Have you rehearsed your part? Every human being is born to die. But we go on living as if that certain future was only a remote possibility. We daydream about winning the lottery, even when our odds of being struck by lightning are much better. But we scarcely give the inevitable a second thought. James, the brother of the Master, says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow brings. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Human arrogance lives life in a daydream, as if it goes on forever and never ends, when in reality, it always ends. Even Enoch and even Elijah have their appointed hour. It's appointed to man to die, and no one escapes the passage through Sheol. Not even our holy master could avoid the snares of the grave. And this is one of the many themes of the high holidays, and the reason for wearing white kittles on Yom Kippur, not just to dress like angels, but because the kittle is actually a burial shroud. So in this sense, the high holidays are a rehearsal for the inevitable, the day of the judgment, which is why we rehearse and we prepare on the high holidays for the coming day of judgment. And so it is that we live in anticipation, expectation, because our master comes at an hour when we do not expect him. And if he does not do so in our lifetimes, God forbid, nevertheless, the unexpected hour of judgment when we must stand before the Almighty and account for our deeds committed in the flesh will come soon enough. We live comfortably in denial, asleep, as it were, to the sudden inevitable fate of every human being born into the world. The trumpet of Rosh Hashanah awakens us. The voice of the trumpet says, "Wake up. Take account of your deeds. Put your house in order, for a day of judgment looms over you, is quickly coming, is about to pounce." In the apocryphal Gospel of Thomas, the thief coming in the night symbolizes the coming day of judgment, and the master warns the disciples to be on guard against the world, lest it lull them to sleep. They must prepare themselves against the robbers, the coming judgment. For this I say, it says in Thomas, if the owners of a house know that a thief is coming, they will be on guard before the thief arrives and will not let the thief break into their house and steal their possessions. As for you then, be on guard against the world. Prepare yourselves with great strength so the robbers cannot find a way to get to you. For the trouble you expect will come. Judgment comes. The inevitable comes. Switching analogies. He also compares the judgment day to the day of harvest. The Messiah comes carrying a sickle as the harvester when the grain is ready. Thomas 21 says, let there be among you a man who understands. When the crop is ripened, he came quickly, carrying a sickle and harvested it. He who has ears, let him hear. In the Torah, it says, if a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. From this passage, we learn that a thief might come by day or by night. The thief who comes by night comes unexpectedly, in the dark, without warning, unannounced. Therefore, if the householder encounters him and strikes him, he can't be held accountable for the thief's life because he didn't know if the intruder was armed or unarmed or seeking only to steal bread or seeking to take a life. But by day, he sees the man and he has the opportunity to assess the situation, so blood guilt remains with him if he strikes the man down and if he comes by day. That's the rule in Exodus 22. From this, we might also learn that the thief comes twice. Once in the open, in daylight, as our master did when he ministered for 3 years, proclaiming the kingdom announced by John the Immerser, predicted by the prophets. But woe to the one found sleeping when the thief comes in the night. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your master is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Three things come unexpectedly: the Messiah, a lost item, and a scorpion. A thief breaking into one's house is also an unexpected event. Just as no one expects the thief to break in, so too Messiah will come when no one expects him. The disciple Simon Peter remembered the master's parable when he wrote, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief." The apostle Paul also knew the saying. He said, "The day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." And in the book of Revelation, the master says, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. And he says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake. Just as the owner of the house must be on guard at all hours because he does not know when the thief is planning to break in, so too the master's disciples are told they must watch and wait for Yeshua to return. Now here's a practical question. What does it mean to stay awake watching for the thief? Some might suppose that this means studying eschatology, studying the signs and the clues, searching out the riddles and the prophecies, following predictions and calculations to best determine the day and the hour, to anticipate when the thief will arrive, studying prophecies and so forth, and being part of prophecy clubs. But this is the opposite of the meaning. The point of the analogy is that the thief comes in an hour when you do not expect, so predictions about his coming at such and such a time and such an hour are in vain. He comes unexpectedly. So how are we to stay prepared for his unexpected coming? The answer can be determined by reading further in the text of Matthew where this parable is found. Who then is the faithful wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. In other words, the disciple who stays vigilant, who remains prepared for the unexpected hour, does so by staying busy with the work that has been assigned to him. This is the true meaning of preparing for the end times. Not in laying up weapons and stores and provisions, but in staying busy with acts of love and kindness and caring for others and watching over the household of God, administering love and provision, distributing charity and tzedakah and doing good. It says in verse 48, but if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The one who is not prepared for the thief in the night is the disciple whose love for his fellow disciples, his brothers and sisters has grown cold. He turns to selfishness and self-indulgence, and he treats others unkindly. He squanders the gifts of God. He squanders his own wealth, saying, what's mine is mine. He spends lavishly on his own appetites and inclinations, but he turns away from those in need. Hashem has a message for us this year. A simple message. Not a new message. Not a new commandment. But an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you've already heard. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm giving to you, which is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. This is the commandment, that we love one another as the Master loved us, as he loves his disciples. And greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for another. The disciple who proves himself, who loves others, serves others, places others ahead of himself, is the one who remains ready and prepared for the unexpected day and hour. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the 10 days of repentance, the last 10 days of the 40 days. These 40 days of repentance are days to set our course right, to reorder our priorities, to make a fresh commitment to seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Because yes, the thief is coming, and he comes by night in the darkness, but we should not be surprised. As Paul said, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.
Thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel depends on financial support from our virtual members to sustain this ministry and the message of Messianic Judaism for all nations. Please consider making a donation to Beth Emmanuel.